Okay, let's learn. Darash. Okay, last three lines before we get to why. Darash, Levi ben Arda, Kili Lashari, he made a pipaskin, the Kili Lashari, that you're allowed to go out with the Kili on Shabbos. And because he passed that it's Mutar Nafik, Esrin Vyarba, Kili Le Mikulur Naharda. When he gave the Psak Halacha that you're allowed to go outside, everyone picked themselves up and they went to the park. Here's Shemaiah Shadaf Yom over here, they gave the Psak that the quarantine is over. All the people in quarantine came out. 24 women. Eshrin V'arba. 24 women came out from the Hardah, and they wore in the street their crowns on Shabbos, and there's no chashash they may come to carry. Vaiter Darash Rabba. I'm putting all you guys on mute because there's some funny sounds coming out from over here. I'm putting you all on mute. You all have now been muted. Sorry, I don't mean to be rude. Vaita, if you want to talk, you just press *6. Vaita Darash Rabba Baravua Beir Mechoyza Kli Lashare V'Nafgu Tamnei Serei 18 Klile Mechadam Meva. In that city, they had 18. Okay, from one Mavi. So over here, the Gemara is coming to illustrate that over here, in the different degrees of Ashirus in the city of Naharda, in the entire Naharda, there was a total of 24 Kalile. However, in the city of Mechuza, Darash Rabba Barbaravua Beir Mechuza, in the city of Mechuza, they had so many, 18 from one Mavui, okay, which appears to be an enormous number. Next Gemara. That is just in Dvar Gada to understand the significance. I'm sure there's a lot of very great depth in this. Unfortunately for you, I did not prepare the deeper significance of what this means. If I would have been prepared well, you would know something more. Vaita. Omar, Rav Yehuda, Omar, Shmuel, Kamra. What's Kamra? It's a belt. Kamra is a belt. Shari, it's Mutzuwer and Shabbos. And there's no chashash that you're going to carry on this belt. There was a foil of metal, of gold or silver, and some inserted into this belt precious stones. And the halacha is that it's permitted to wear this belt on the Holy Shabbos. There's no concern that you'll come to carry it. Some say the aruksa. Some say that this belt has a strap. Remember, we learned this yesterday when it came to the kalila. There's a machlokes. Does the kalila is the issue the strap, or is the issue the foil? Some say they were discussing over here the ritsua, there was a belt which had a strap of material that was studded with precious metal, diamonds. The Amar of Safra, Midahava Atalis Musheves. The reason why it's permitted, it's no worse than a gold talis. And a gold talis, you're allowed to go out on Shabbos. You never heard a person that said that you're not allowed to wear on Shabbos a gold garment. Therefore, this belt that has on it studded with different precious stones is going to be mutar on Shabbos. Vaita, the Igdam, some say the Aniska. Some say the reason why the Chiddush of the belt is not that it has a cord of gold, rather it has a tas. Okay, the Aniska is a belt that itself is mutar, itself is metal, it's a metal belt. And the chiddush is, remember, I've suffered. The chiddush is midhavei avmei shel melachim. It's no different than the belt of a king, and just like a king, I guess we have a zakh, a king would have a metal belt, and just like a king is allowed to have a metal belt, so to an ordinary person will have a metal belt because of the aside, kol bnei Yisrael melachim. Every single Jew has the status of a king. Next Gemara, Amalei Rav Ilai Ravashi, Kamra ilavei. Him yono mai. What happens if a person has a kamra, this type of belt, on a regular belt? A himnoya is a regular, ordinary belt of cloth that every Tom, Dick, and Harry wears every day of the week. What happens to a person now? Basically, you wear a double belt. You put on top of your ordinary belt this exotic belt, which we just learned now is machlokes. Is this exotic belt made from material that is studded, or is it a type of metal? It's a foil of metal which you wrap around your waist. So what is the halacha on Shabbos? Is it mutar? Amalei, so he told him, Trei him yone ka'amrit. You're talking about two belts? It is categorically forbidden. Everyone agrees that if you wear a garment on top of a garment, that's called a malacha. And therefore, if you wear two belts, wearing two belts on Shabbos, the second belt is called a masoi. Now, the truth is, when you wear two garments, it's not necessarily so partial. The person wears on Shabbos like two socks. There are people who do that. I do that. I wear three socks. I wear three socks every day. I don't confess over here, publicly confess all of my sins. I wear layers. I wear three pairs of socks. It's a total of six. I have a special lower layer, and then on top I have two things, which is whatever. I have to explain to you what I do. So that's mutter, because that's called a garment. But when you wear a belt does not really serve to give you warmth. The purpose of a belt is to hold up your pants, the hosen, to keep the hosen in place. In the Neila, you only need one belt. A second belt is pure masu, and it is forbidden. By the next one, Ravashi, hi, risuka. Risuka is a material. It's a material. E islay, it's also like a type of a belt. Okay, it's a type of belt. E islay maf rechoyosa, if it has short straps that hang out of this object to tie it well, it's shori, it's mutter. Why is mutter on Shabbos? Because when I continue going, it's going to fall down. The eloi, if it does not, it's asir, it's going to be us. Now this is a type of a garment. I'm not exactly sure what this is. It's a certain type of garment that you wear around your body, and I actually have a picture over here, my Gemara. Or do I? There's a picture. It says it's a type of garment. Okay, it's a type of garment. It's some type of thing you wear on your chest. It keeps your ribs in place. How do you like that? If your ribs are loose and you want to fasten them tight to your body, they should not break, you put on this garment. The concern is this thing may fall off. The rule is if it has straps and you strap it down securely upon your chest, it's mutter. If not, it is forbidden. Next, v'loy bikatla. It says in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that a person may not go out on Shabbos a katla. What is a katla? My katla. The Gemara says minakta pare. It's a beautiful pare, means it's beautiful. It's a garment that is embroidery. It's a garment. I read you the parish from the start of the Gemara. Is a beg in noah hamitzuya bezachav shetoli kineg liba kedesh shelo yiplu al begodecha piruya pas. Okay, I think that it's a bib. It's a bib. Push it like a baby. You have a bib in order not to get your clothing dirty. You're wearing this bib or this apron that you wear when you eat food, not to get your beautiful clothing dirty. You're not allowed to wear this on Shabbos. This is called a masui. Vaita. Okay, vaita in halacha. Because you may come to take it off because you're going to be embarrassed. Why are you wearing a bib in the Rishus Harabim? You may come to take it off. All of these items, they're very, very complicated. Most of them, the reason why you're not allowed to wear them on Shabbos, not because they're not really called a garment. That's not really the issue. The issue is you may be embarrassed that you're wearing it, and you'll take it off, and you'll carry it down the Amos in the Rishus Harabim. That is, most of these examples, the primary concern. While it's on your garment, technically there's nothing wrong. If you live in a desert island, and you would go out into a Rishus Harabim, which is an oxymoron, how can you live in a desert island and have a Hechatimsa when you're going out into a Rishus Harabim? But Lu Yitzuya, you living in a place where it's a Rishus Harabim, and there's no concern of what people will think and they'll see, then it will be permitted. The concern over here is that people may see you, and you'll be embarrassed, and they're going to take it off. And that's very much Nogei Halacha L'Maaseh when it comes today to the mask. A lot of people we do find are embarrassed. That is a fact. The fact is people are embarrassed to wear a mask. I don't know why, but there is some degree of busha, and that is interesting. What would Chazal say today about wearing a mask? If you ask a lot of people why you're wearing a mask, they'll say, because I don't want to make a chal Hashem, the goyim are looking at us, or they'll tell you because my wife told me to wear the mask. Do I really feel the mask is going to protect me from getting sick? No, I don't really feel it makes a difference. I'm wearing it because whatever, you got to wear it. But then you go in the street and you see on Shabbos, everyone else is not wearing a mask. You see your chevra, and they look at you, and you feel, you know, you want to be like the Joneses. You might be embarrassed. You might be inclined to take off the mask and put it in your pocket and walk down the Rambam and the Rosh Hashanah. Is that really true? I really suspect there's a lot of truth to what I just said. What would Chazal say today? I don't know. We don't have Chazal. And because we don't have Chazal, our rabbi said that it's permitted to wear in the Rosh Hashanah today on Shabbos Kodesh a mask. They all gave us the heter to do so. Not a heter. They told us you should wear a mask. Vaita, on Shabbos. Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
So, I'm saying that you're afraid that you'll take it off. What about if you just lower the mask over your
That's the
mouth?
Same thing. That's the same. L'chaira, it's the same thing. Wearing the mask over your chin, l'chaira, is carrying. That's not what the mask is for. The mask is to wear over your mouth and nose. Putting over your chin, that's l'chaira masoi. That's a burden. If I take off my pants and I tie it around my head, that's not called carrying. That's not where you wear your pants. You wear your pants on your around your legs, not on your head. If I take off my shirt and I wrap it around, I take off my shirt. It's very hot. I take off my shirt and I tie it around my waist. Of course, that's
different. If that's what you're saying, a mask is different. Often people need to. They feel they can't breathe, so they'll lower the mask.
So don't walk. So don't walk, but that's not the way the mask was meant to be worn. The way the mask was meant to be worn was to be worn the normal way. If you go and you lower it, you're not wearing it the normal way. Look, that's called carrying. I'm assuming that's called carrying. That's not called a mask. It's no different. No, not. If you go on the street, let me ask you a similar question. If you go with the glass like this, you go put it up like this, right? Like this. Like the sunglasses, right? All the fancy people, they wear sunglasses on their head. They wear the fancy sunglasses. That's not called carrying. L'chora, that's called carrying. Vaita. Next halacha. Next sugya. We learn over here. The Mishnah says over here. V'loy bin nezamim. You're not going to go wearing nezim, a nose ring. Now the Gemara says, why? Davin, the Gemara says over here. Nizraf. I'm putting you all over here on mute because there's a lot of noise. I don't know why there's so much noise. But everyone over here has to now go on mute. Vaita. You're not allowed to wear over here on Shabbos. You're not allowed to wear on Shabbos over here in Nezma, nose ring. The Moses says Nezma af is also because you may come take them off. But what is the diuk? But an earring is mutter. People do not take off earrings. That you do not have to worry. You have to go ask even like these children. Like, I think how old does a baby have to be to get an earring? Shlomi. Your grandchildren have earrings. You have any girls? You have any girl grandchildren? They have earrings. You have boys only. Any of your girls? Any girl grandchildren? How old are they when they get their earrings? About 3 days. I think you get the earrings before you get the bris, right? A boy gets a bris when he's 8 days old, but a girl gets the earrings when she's 3 days old. Vaita. V'loy seitzei b'tabash in alachaisim. You're not going to go out with a tabas. She'ein oleho choysam. That's what we learned in the Mishnah. And let's say, makes the Gemara make that, what is the choysam? The choysam is because it's still called a tachshit. But let's say, ha she'yesh oleho choysam, chayeves. Okay, a ring that has a signet ring. This is business. This is not called a tachshit. If the ring does not have your signature, that's called a tachshit. And a tachshit, you're not allowed to go out. The Gemara over here learns that a tachshit is not lichatchila. You're not allowed to have a ring on Shabbos. But b'di'eved, if you do go out, it says over here in the Mishnah. It says the Mishnah says, but there's no chiyuv chatas. It's loy. It says the Mishnah, V'loi b'tabash she'ein oleha choysam. And the Mishnah goes on to say, if we're not going to go back to the Mishnah, the Mishnah goes on to say that if you do go out, you potter. Okay, it's part of the Mishnah. This is part of the list of items in the Mishnah that says that if a person should not do these things, but if you do these things, you are exempt from bringing a carbon chatos. The diak is, what would happen if the ring does have upon it a choysam? Then you would be chayiv a carbon chatos. So a ring with a choysam is one notch above, is much worse than a ring without a chaisam. So effectively, ha, yay, shlo chaisam, chayvas chatas. Why? Alama, why? Why is that so? Laf, tachshid, who? A ring, that a signet ring, which are used to seal documents, is not called a tachshit, it's called a burden. You're going to be chayv in karbon, chayv kum chatas. Next. But I mean, we have a stira. It says here, it says in the Braisa, it says, tachshite noshem tumeim, any ornament of an isha is mekabel, is susceptible to tumah, and the Mishnah goes on to enumerate the various tachshite noshem, the elohim tachshite noshem, kat lois. What are kat lois? Kat is a choker. Right? What is a kat lois? The Gemara is going to explain in a few moments. Okay, a choker. You put it around your neck to keep quiet. Okay, husbands, they give this to women that they should not say anything. Mizamim. These are earrings. Then it goes on to say vitabois, rings. Okay, and the ring is going to be explained in a moment. Vitabos, vitabas. What is the ring? What kind of ring do we say is mekabel tumah? Bein sheyei shalecha chaysam, bein sheein olecha chaysam. It makes no difference. These are objects which are susceptible to tumah. Then it goes on to say the nizmei ha'af, nose rings. Now the Gemara wants to say, the Gemara wants to make an assumption that the laws of hilchos tumah are identical to the laws of hilchos Shabbos. And just like when it comes to tumah, it makes no difference whether it says over these are called tachshitei noshem. Okay, let's take a step back. The Mishnah over here says that a requirement for a ring to be mekabel tumah is it must be called a tachshit. And when we define a tachshit, it says explicitly in this Mishnah Masechta Kelim that a tachshit is considered one whether it has a chosam or not. But even if it does have a chosam, it's called a tachshit. Mimela, in our Mishnah, Hilchos Shabbos, since we know that the requirement to be exempt from a carbon chatos is that it be called a tachshit, so it's called a tachshit. It says so beferish Masechta Kelim. So what's going on over here? The Gemara gives an answer. How come it's so noisy over here? The Gemara gives an answer. Rav Zeira, Lekasha, Ha, Rav Nechemya, V'ha, Rabbanon, Enoch and Amitz, Machloikis, Tanoyim. The machlokes them over here is, what is the ikar part of the ring? According to Nechemya, the ikar part of the ring is the chosam, and therefore, being that the ikar part is the chosam, he holds a woman is not, for a woman it's not called a tachshit. In other words, let's understand. We have over here a signet ring. The signet ring has two elements. It has the signet and it has the ring. A woman enjoys the ring element. The man enjoys the chosam. Woman enjoys the ring because she looks at the ring to be the tachshit. Oh, but this ring happens to have attached to it a seal. Okay, she's willing to tolerate that because the ikar in her eyes is the fact that the ring, the metal part, that's the part that's chosheth. The other part is batal. Whereas, why does she not enjoy the signature? Because a woman is not in business. If she's not in business, it means nothing to her. Whereas a man, the main part of the ring for a man is the signature part. So that's the machlokes. Rabbi Nechemya holds the ikar part of the ring is the chosam. Memela, for a woman, it's going to be a burden because she doesn't want that. And since that's the ikar, the whole ring becomes a burden. The Rabbanon, they hold the ikar. What? Muksa? Why? Yes, Akasha, why don't we say it's Muksa? You're saying very good. That's another issue. Ein hachinami, according to the Shita of Rabbi Nechemya, it would be Muksa, you're correct. But here we are discussing the issue, is there going to be a chiv of carbon chatos, Muksa zemid rabbanan? Will there be a chiv carbon chatos for going out into the street? What? Is she over the Silbash? So maybe you're right. That is a separate discussion. You're saying you're making a very good point. That is a separate discussion that we're not discussing here. Here we're only discussing the issue of Chayefa Hoitzon Shabbos. You're right. There are other issues. There's an issue, like we learned today in the Shir in the morning, we learned about the laws of shaving. If a man shaves with a razor, is he also over on the Issu Daraisa of loisilva loyilbash ish ge simlas isha. Is he over on the isderaisa of uvichuko simloisilechu? It's a shiloh. But that's not the topic. That's not our topic. The topic is their first five loisaseis, five corners. That's what we have to go one thing at a time. So here as well, here we're discussing the issue of Haitzah and Shabbos. According to Rabbi Nechemiah, Rabbi Nechemiah holds that when a woman looks at a signet ring, it's uchi in her eyes. Because being that the ikar part of a ring is the signature, and she is not involved in this aspect, so for her the entire ring is considered one big burden, and that's going to be the deek of the Mishnah, that if there's a chosam, there'll be a chiyav karban chatas. The braisa that says that if a woman goes out on Shabbos wearing this ring, and it's called a tachshit, Memela, it's Makabal Tumah, and if it's going to be Makabal because it's called a Tachshit, so when it comes to the laws of Shabbos, there is not going to be a Chiv Karmachatos. It's going like the Rabbanan, that a woman looks at this ring, the Iker part of the ring is the ring, not the signature part. Ha, Rabbanan. We're going like the Rabbanan. It's going to be called a tachshit for a woman, and male even lechatchila she should not wear it on Shabbos because it has the other part attached, and therefore it takes it away. But the bottom line is that the ikar din is called a tachshit. The male is not going to be a chiyuv carbon if a woman walks out with it on Shabbos. Next Gemara, the Talmud on the Braisa, what's the machlekes? Tanya, he shall mateches. This is the baravusta sugya of the ring of where it's made from different parts. If the ring is made of metal, v'chosama shel almoig. Almoig is an exotic wood, tamea. It's mekabel tuma because then almoig is wood, and wood is not mekabel tuma. Pshute kli eitz are not mekabel tuma. The signature part does not have a kibul, a base kibul. It's a piece of wood. But being that this piece of wood is attached to metal is mekabel tuma no matter what. So if you have the signature part of the ring is wood, but the ring is metal, according, then halach is mekabel tuma. It's mekabel tuma. Fine. But let's say he shall almeg. Let's say pumpakert. The ring. Star six. How do we put this guy on mute over here? We need to have like a full-time administrator running. Okay, Vita, let's say he shall almoig. Let's say the ring is made from wood. The chaysam shall mateches, and the chaysam is made from metal. Tahira, why is it tahira? Because the tabas is the ikur. So look at the chiddush of the Rabbanan. According to the Rabbanan, when you have a ring, there are two parts to a signet ring. There is the part that goes around the finger, and there is the seal. According to the Rabbanan, the ikar portion of the ring is the part that goes around the finger. Therefore, if the part that goes around the finger is metal, it's mekabel tuma. If the part that goes around the finger is wood, it's not mekabel tuma. That's because the ikar part of the ring is the part that goes around the finger. We couldn't care less what the ring itself is made from, what the seal is made from. Even if the seal is made from metal, which ordinarily by itself would be mekabel tuma, since it's attached to the part that goes around the finger, and the part that goes around the finger is the ikar, that is where we need to determine if it's mekabel tuma or not. If it's made from metal, then it is mekabel tuma. If it's made from wood, it's not mekabel tuma. Now we come to Rabbi Nechemiah. Rabbi Nechemiah mitameh. He's mitameh. In this case, where the seal is made from metal. If the seal is made from metal, in this case, Rabbi Nechemiah says it's tameh, because that's the ikur according to Rabbi Nechemiah. Show Rabbi Nechemiah Omer. Tabas halich acher chosama, but be oil. Then he just wants to slip in another halacha, which is a different topic of discussion. The yoke that you wrap around the neck of the animal, halich achar sim loinav. You go after the pegs. Okay, there are different parts to the yoke. We once had a discussion about this. The yoke has a horizontal part and has a vertical portion, and there is a peg which keeps the vertical and horizontal portions together. And according to Rabbi Nechemiah, the part, the main part of the yoke is the peg. The simloinov are the yesedos, which bring the peg, which sticks in, which puts the parts of the yoke together. And if it's made from metal, it's mekabel tuma. And if it's, I shouldn't say the pegs. They're pegs. It's not. I have to show you a picture. Okay, let me show you the picture of my Gemara. Okay, I'm picking up. Unfortunately, you see over here the animal, and you see there's a yoke, and on the yoke, around the animal, on the two sides, there are these pegs. Shlomi, you looking at the screen? Shlomi, you see? You see it, Shlomi? You see the picture?
Unmute.
You see it?
Now I'm unmuted. I see what you...
Okay. So those things, that's the ikar. If that's made from metal, it's mekabel tuma. If it's not made from metal, it's not mekabel tuma. So next halacha, this goes right to more halachas. Big koilav. What is a koilav? It is a pillar that you use display board. So therefore, halichacha mas meraisav, we follow the straps. Whatever the straps of this display board are made from, if it's made from metal, it's mekabel tuma. And if it's made from wood, one more time, we have over here a pillar, bikoilov. It's an amud. I'm reading from this side of the Gemara over here. Look at Rashi. Rashi, we say, look at Rashi. Rashi says, the kolov, he came in amud rochav milamata vidak milamala. It's some type of board. It's wide milamata. It's pointy milamala. It sounds like a triangle. And you move it around. And the storekeeper puts it before his window, before his chalon chanusai. Mismarin tchuvin boy. There are straps that are inserted into this board, and he straps upon these things merchandise. Okay, I'm not so clear what this thing is, but whatever it is, we follow the straps. If the straps are made from metal, it's mekabel tuma, and if it's made from wood, it's not mekabel tuma. Next, bisulam, a ladder. What's the halacha? Halech achar sheli voisav, the steps. If the steps are metal, it's mekabel tuma. If it's wood, not mekabel tuma. But arsa is a scale, like that thing they have on the Aron HaKodesh on Rosh Hashanah, a scale, the old-fashioned scales. There are two different sides, right? A scale. Then we follow lechachar shal shalosav, the chains that hold the two sides of the scales, the two plates. It all depends. If it's made from metal, mekabel tuma. If it's not made, it's not mekabel tuma. That's according to the Shidur Rabbi Nechemiah. Rabbi Nechemiah, he gave, if I'm not mistaken, five examples. It's kedai to remember the five examples. The five examples over here, Mamash Mali Yisaydais. Now, what are the five examples? Okay, what are the five examples? The ring. Okay, number two is the oil. Number three is the kaluv. Number four is the sulam. And number five is the arsa. Okay, five examples. Shlomi, I'm going to test you on this tomorrow night. I'm going to wake you up tomorrow, middle of the night, and ask you what are the five different things, the machlekes between the Rabbanim, according to Rabbanim, and the we follow over here these different parts. Halech, next. The Chacham say no. The Chacham say, Hakol olech achar ha-maimit. Okay, we go after the maimit. We go after the item that is the main support. So, now if you want to go through all different five things, let's go through. When it comes to the ring, the support is the part that goes around the finger. Okay? The tabas. When it comes to the yoke, we go not after the pegs, but we go off the actual yoke itself. The beam, the vertical beam or the horizontal beam that you put on the animal, not the pegs. That's called the maimit. Okay, when it goes after the koloiv, we follow the koloiv, es mismiroisav, yasulam, maimit eshlivoisav. Okay, I'm not exactly sure what these things are. Okay, I have to go look at all the pictures. But when it comes to all of these items, these, we have to go through all these different zakim over here. I'm not really familiar with all these different zakim. I'll read you the parish on the side over here. V'akolov, esmas mereisav, v'asulam, ma'amines shalivoisav. Basically, when you get a ladder, it's the side parts. And the koloiv. The koloiv is also the main piece, the main piece of material. And when it comes to the scale, what's the maimid? It's the center shaft. The center shaft of the scale is what's maimid. Oh, not the chains. So basically, according to the chachamim say the ikar is the maimud. The maimud is the ikar. According to the shita of Rabbi Nechemia, the ikar is not the maimud, but rather another part. When it comes to the ladder, the rungs of the ladder. When it comes to the scale, the chains. When it comes to the ring, it's the actual seal of the ring. When it comes to the koloiv, it's the straps which keep the thing in place. And the last example was the what I leave out. I got them all except for one, the one on the yoke. The yoke, it's the actual yoke itself, not the pegs. So we have here a machlekes between the Nechemia and the Rabbanan. What gets reviewed? So what do we gain from this machlekes from the Nechemia and the Rabbanan? We gain the following, that when it comes to a ring on Shabbos, a woman would like to wear the ring on Shabbos in the Rishus HaRabim. Or not she like, if she did wear the ring in the Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos, is she chayve karbon chatos? We find a stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa. In the Mishnah, it's mashma that there's going to be a chiv karbon chatos for a woman to go out on Shabbos wearing a signet ring. In the Braisa, it's mashma that she's not chayve karbon chatos. How do we reconcile this contradiction? Well, the answer is we have a very elaborate machlokes between Rabbi Nechemia and the Rabbanan in Masechta Kelim regarding what is the ikar of the utensil to determine if it's going to be makabel tumah. What's the ikar? Only metal is makabel tumah. Wood is not makabel tumah. These utensils, are they makabel tumah or not? According to the Chachamim across the board, we go bas of the maimit, which means the support of the utensil. According to Rabbi Nechemia, you go after the a small portion of the utensil, which is the main function of the utensil, which is a significant part of the utensil. And when it comes to a ring, according to Rabbi Nechemia, we follow the seal of the ring. That's the ikar. According to the Rabbanan, we follow the part that goes around the finger, what's called the tabas. Now that we know that, now let's go back to the Meher Yishayitza of the Shabbos. When it comes to a signet ring, a woman is not involved in business, so for her the seal is meaningless. It's nothing. That does not what counts. What counts is the ring. According to Rabbi the Rabbanan, the part that goes around the finger, that is the ikar part of the ring, binogel laws of tuma. And since that indeed is called the tachshit, so the male, if a woman goes down with that on Shabbos, she would not be chayav karban chatos. But the Mishnah that says that she would be chayav karban chatos is going like Rabbi Nechemia. So Rabbi Nechemia says the ikar part of the ring is the seal, and that's why it will be mekabel tumah. And a woman has no shaykhis to the seal. That's the ikar. So it's not called a tachshit. It's called a business item which has no function on Shabbos. So the male of the Mishnah will be going like Rabbi Nechemia. Okay, that is how we answer the stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa. It all goes back of Masechta Kelim. What is, do we have to determine if this item is eligible to Mekabel Tumah? There are two different parts, Machlokes of Nechemia and the Rabbanan, and that Machlokes will have a major nafka meaning when it comes to laws of Meher Yishayitza. Good? Shlomi, you got it? Vayit in the Gemara. Now, Rava Omar. Rava says, I have a better answer, another answer to explain the stira, the Mishnah in Masechta Kelim, even like Rabbi Nechemia. In other words, we want another answer. What's the other answer? Another answer. Let's go to the answer. Rav Amar. The answer is as follows. Litzdadim Kitani. We're going to read it. We're going to break up the Mishnah into two parts. What do we mean? He explains over here. Yesh Oleho Chaysam. Tachshit, then it's a tachshit de ish. If there is a chaysam, then it's going to be called a tachshit of an ish. Ein aleha chaysam, there is no chaysam, then tachshit de isha. In other words, let's go back to the word. Let's clarify the stira. What was exactly back to the Gemara? Let's go back very quickly to the Gemara. The two dots on the previous verse of the Testament base. It says in the Mishnah. It says here in the Mishnah, nizmei ha'af. Then it goes on to say v'loy b'tabas she'ein oleh ha'chaisam. Okay, ha'yei sholeh ha'chaisam chayeves alma lav tachshit. Who? It's not called a tachshit. V'ramine, we have a stira. So l'mas tefilim. Now we look. We're now going to quote these words. We're going to quote v'ramine. Tachshit Noshim, we have learned Lefi the Maskana so far that what we're about to read one more time is not going like Rabbi Nechemia. Our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Nechemia. Memela the Zechi of Chatos. And what we're going to read right now in this reviewing is going like the Rabbanon. It says here Tachshit Noshim, Tmeim, the Elohim, Tachshit Noshim, Katlois, Chokers, Nizamim, the Tabois, a Tabas. Is a tachshit. What kind of tabas? The tabas bein sheyesh alecha chaysam bein sheein alecha chaysam. Oh, how could that possibly be? That if it has a chaysam, it's called a tachshit. But it says in the Mishnah, it's a chiv kamachados. Oh, the Rabbanan. No. When it says here that it's called a tachshit, it's a tachshit for a man. Ein hachinami. If a woman were to wear. If a woman were to wear this ring that has a choysam, enochinami, the woman indeed would be chayav karbon chatos. When it's would be chayav karbon chatos. But this is not discussing the laws of Shabbos of bameho isha yoitza. We're discussing bameho ish yoitza here. It's discussing over here the laws of Tumah Tahara. We want to define: is this called in order for a utensil, this type of item, to be mekabel tumah? It must be called a tachshit. Guess what? If a ring has a seal on it, that's a tachshit for a man. A man likes to show off his seal. It makes him feel important that he has a signature. He has something unique in this world. A woman doesn't care for this. A woman only cares that it should be a gold ring. It should be a pure ring. That's what makes a tachshit for a woman. But for a man, adraba, it's a tachshit only if it has a seal. So memela, for a woman, it needs to be without the chosam. For a man, to be called a tachshit, it needs to have the chosam. Once it's called a tachshit for a man, oh, for a man it's a tachshit, it's called a tachshit, it's a mekabel tuma. But what we are learning here in Masechta Shabbos, look at the top of the page. On the top of the page it says, Bamo ha'isha yoitza. So enachnami, when you want to discuss the sugya of a woman, oh, so enachnami, a woman, you need to have no choysam. The ikur by the woman is the ring part that and if you're going to have the chayis, if you go like Rabbi Nechemiah says the main part automatically of the ring is going to be called the seal, so you're going to ruin it. It's not called a tachshit for a nish. It's called a masim. Carbon chatos. But the Mishnah Masechta Kalim is not discussing bameho isha. It's discussing all different types of tachshitin. A tachshit for a man and a tachshit for a woman. As long as some way can be called a tachshit, it's going to be eligible to mekabel tuma. Good? Vayit in the Gemara. This is the answer of Rava. The Tzadim Ketani, Yesh l'chaysam tachshit ish, Ein l'chaysam tachshit isha. Vayta, answer number two, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar, another answer. Tuma Shabbos Karamis. Toma kli ma'isam rachmana. It must be called a utensil. Kliu Shabbos mishum masoi. Ikur is a bird am rachmana. Memela ein lechaisam tachshit. Yesh lechaisam masoi. He's coming to say that we're totally mistaken. We have a fundamental mistake in understanding the pshat in this braisa. We in the having until this moment in time feel that when it comes to the laws of Toma, a ring, the fact that it has a function to be a signet ring is not sufficient for it to be susceptible to tuma. In order for a ring to be susceptible to mekabel tuma, it has to be called a tachshit. A tachshit. Oh, you get into all this trouble. The Gemara now, he rejects her. Rav Nachman says he's making a toz gomor, agma oid. The criteria for a ring to the Mekabel Tumma is a kli maisa. A signet ring is a kli maisa because you use it to seal documents. That's why it's Mekabel Tumma. What does that have to do with Hilchah Shabbos? Hilchah Shabbos is a question of, is it a burden? Is it not a burden? On Shabbos, you don't do business. The mail is called a burden, even though it's called a kli maisa. If I go outside in the street carrying a hammer, could you imagine? I go out on Shabbos into the Rishus Rabim carrying in my hand a hammer. Very nice. It's a wonderful utensil. It may cost on Amazon $15, $20, maybe a very expensive hammer for $100. But it's makabel tumma. It's a hammer. Very nice. It's a kli maisa. But Shabbos, you don't bring out a hammer into the street. Hayel l'chud v'hayel l'chud. Okay, good. Vayit, next Gemara. Remember the mission of Eloi, the machat she'ein nikuva. It is categorically forbidden to go out with a machat on Shabbos. That it's not nikuva, that does not perforate it. Okay, does not have a perforation to stick in thread. But the more now makes a diuk. Then let's say, because then it's mamish chul Shabbos. But let's say the diuk is, let's say it is. If it's nukuva, if it's perforated, then it's a tailor's utensil. And then there is this chilul Shabbos. But the Mishnah says, let's say it's not nukuva. If it's not nukuva, then it's potter aval osser. You should not go out into the street with such a machad, but if you do go out, you're going to be potter. Why? What do you gain? I have to just take a sip over this. The Gemara's question is, Lamai Chazi, what do you gain? It's Potter Aval Osser. If it's Potter Aval Osser, if you go out on the street with a machat that's not perforated, you're not Chayev a Karban Chatas. Why? Because Bidiyevet, it has the... What? Bidiyevet has a use. Exactly, Lamai Chazi. We have to find the purpose why it should not be called Chilul Shabbos. Why? Why are you not Chayev a Karban Chatos? Obviously, it serves a function. It serves a purpose. Why? The Gemara says, Rav Yosef Chol v'Isha Ageres Bas Sa'ara, a woman uses this, in other words, she took this machat to weave her hair. All the hair that comes out of the band, it's inserted upon this machat, so it's part of her garment. In other words, it's bottled to her guf. This machat is serving a function. The function is all of her hair is woven around it. Memela, it's basically bottled to her body. That's why it serves a function. Look at Rashi. Dima Masal Geretz Basara. Hayotze Chutz L'Kishurecha. The hair that's not part of the band. Karachtoi Saviv HaMachat. And she sticks it into the net mitachtecha shelo yireh sara, that the hair should not be seen. So it's serving a function. If it's serving a function for her hair, it's keeping your hair like a safety pin. You're allowed to wear a safety pin on Shabbos. It's keeping it in place. Mimela, that's not called a chiv. That's not chilul Shabbos. That's why it's going to be potter aval osser. But still, she should not do this. It's not advisable because it's very delicate and it very easily will fall out and she'll come to pick it up and carry it into the Shus Sarabim. But if that does not happen and it's thrust into her Shchava, it is Potter Aval Osser. If it's Nekuva, if it's perforated, it's not used for this purpose, then it's like a tailor's machat, and it has no purpose on Shabbos, then there will be chiv Shabbos. But as long as it's not nekuva, it has a function. Vaita, Abaya says, I don't like this pshat, but they have a kiviris tohoira, vitishtari. Let this be like a bracelet, which you make. Now, this type of a kiviris means some type of clasp. We'll loosely translate this as a clasp that is used to hold her garments, the hoizen, to keep the pants up. A woman wears pants. You think only men wear pants? Adarabba. Women wear pants in order, tznius, underneath their clothing, they wear pants. Ritznius. And this is mutul lichatchila. If you're telling me that this machat is used to fasten the hair that comes out of the kesher in back into the shchava, so it should not be seen, so then lichatchila she should be permitted to go into the shul with this machat. And yet it says here it's only permitted by the yavet. But the kivirus shatara, it's like a virus to it should be. It should be like a kiviris tohira, vitishtari. Now, what do we mean over here? What do we mean over here? The word tohira, over here in Rashi. Rashi says, look at the Rashi. Rashi is very hard gemara. He's gemara over here. Tohira to kiviris. The title of us nisan biris tohira milatame v'yotzim ba. Okay, it's not mekabel tuma. That's a side point. The fact that it's not mekabel tuma is not nogiyahu sugya. It's a clasp that she uses on top of her pants. Women would wear some type of stockings, and they would keep it in place with this item. And this item is tohoira. It's not a utensil. The lav tachshiti el tashmish lebe shaykeha. The yotzimba and lichatchila, they're allowed to go out with these things on Shabbos. Should tzarich v'law in batei shukecha v'loy chavi masiv yotzin. They came to litzniusa he loy shalfa mechve. The reason why a woman would never dare take this out to show her friends. See, he was shifting. I told you many of the halachas. This is very complicated. Some of the items listed are the reason why considering Shabbos is because they may fall on the floor. The animal may loosen it, it'll fall on the floor and the balabais will pick it up. A woman will take off her jewelry to show her friend and she'll walk with it, Dalet Amos. Okay, so, I'm sorry, some things that, I should say there are three categories, let's reduce it to three categories for now. There are some items that just may fall out. They may fall off and you'll come to carry it. Other items, a woman may take it off to show, to brag. She'll take it off deliberately to show and brag her friends. And the third category is she's embarrassed. And she'll take it off because of embarrassment. There are three different categories of items which you're not allowed to go out with on Shabbos, even though technically you can, but it's a gzeira, again, number one, because it may fall off by itself and you'll be frustrated. And instead of putting it back in the proper location, you'll go and you'll carry it in your pocket. Or you'll put it on part of your body in a way that's called carrying. Category number two is because a woman may actually take it off to show her friend, and in the process she will carry it. Number three, a person who's wearing this item may be embarrassed of the situation, take it off. So here, when it comes to this type of clasp, a woman will not, none of the above, it's not going to fall off. A woman's not embarrassed to be wearing it. And she's not going to take it off because if she takes it off, then her pants are going to fall down. So it's not going to happen. Memela, it's mutter, and the zelbazach when it comes to the machat, she'ena, nikuva, it should be mutter lechatchila. So why don't we go say, the Gemara says, you're right. The Gemara, Ella, you know what you learn from the Gemara? It's murder. You learn enough Gemara, you learn humility. You know why? Because the Gemara is always catching you with your pants down. The Gemara always catches you, and you always have to say, Ella. Every time the Gemara says Ella, it's a very humbling experience. I made a mistake. I told you an answer, and you know what? You're right. I made a mistake. It's not the correct answer. Whenever the Gemara says Ella, it always means we have to abandon everything we've done until now. And when you do this, that's not my phone. It's not my phone. That's someone else's phone. That's another phone over here. There's someone over here that's plugged in over here. So it's a murder. It's a murder. I never thought about this until now. Only in the zchus of the tzibur, of Mr. Cohn and Shlomo Rabinowitz and Rabbi Shoel Lehman. Now in Mechadesh, a murder. So when you learn Gemara, you learn Mamash Shachar of Tara in the Gemara. It's impossible not to be affected by the Shachar of Tara to learn to bring into your neshama humility, the ability to acknowledge I made a mistake. And even though I work so hard to achieve a goal, I have to abandon that. That affects your neshama. It makes you a better person. It makes you into a better person. No, Shlomi? It's a very mordic and musav art. Vaita, El Targum Ravada, Nor Shoha. That was his name. Rav Ado Nor Shoha Kamei Rav Yosef. What's the machat? Chol v'icha chilekes bo sa'ara she splits her hair, lekan lekan. So the woman, what is she use the machat for? The machat is just make a part. You go in the middle of your head, you take this machat, it's like a piece of metal, and you go and you comb the hair, all the hairs on the left go to the left, and all the hairs on the right go to the right. Precious separation. A hair that's on the right head of the head should be on the right, and a hair that's on the left should go to the left. Haraitza lahachkim yadrim. Haraitza lahashir yatspin. If you want to be rich, don't look at the menorah. Money's not going to come out of the menorah. Torah is not a business. If you want to be rich, don't make Torah into a business. Don't turn to the south. If you want to be a chacham, then don't look at the shulchan. You're not going to be a chacham by spending the whole day looking at money. You hear the vart? You ever hear that before? We always hear the vart the other way around. You always hear the vart. If you want to be a Talmud chacham, then yadrim. Look at the menorah. If you want to be an asher, then look at the shulchan. That's one way of looking at it. There's another way of looking at it. If you want to be a Talmud chacham, don't look at the shulchan. It's impossible to have shtei shulchanes. If you want to be Talmud Chacham, you want to spend your whole day looking at the Shulchan, it's not so much that you should be Yadrim. I'm telling you, Murti Gavart, it's not so much that you should be Yadrim in order to look at the Menorah. Of course you're going to be looking at the Menorah. Haraitza lahachkim. Of course. The point is, look at the Menorah and don't. The emphasis, don't look at the Shulchan. If you spend the whole day on the computer looking at money, you're not going to be Talmud Chacham. If you want to be rich, don't look at the Torah. In other words, don't make the Torah into a business. Torah has to be pure. Hear the vart? Gval gvar. This is an interesting vart. Vaita. Vaita. So what's it fit for? The Morris is very nice. Very nice. You have a machat. And this machat in the kuva. And use the part you're here. So it says in the Mishnah, you go with on Shabbos, it's potter of a loser. Lamai chazia, yeshakoyach. Why am I allowed to go out b'di'eved with this on Shabbos? I don't wear this in my head. The Gemara says, Amarava, tash shel zav yeshla al roisha. There's a tas of gold. And b'chol chalekes ba, sa'ara b'shabbos manicha keneged padachta. It's multifunctional. It's one of those things, even in ancient times, they had multifunctional objects. During the weekday, it's primarily used to part your hair. But on Shabbos, they would put it on the forehead as an ornament. And what is the concern now? You may take it off to show your friend how beautiful it is. Rashi. And Rashi over here doesn't say, it just says that you put it on the forehead. And the forehead, l'chayra, Rash doesn't follow through. L'chayra, it's going to be an ornament. And over here on the bottom, over here in the parish, in the sift, it says l'noy. And I'm assuming then that the issue is you may take it off to show your next door neighbor, look how beautiful it is. Look at the quality of gold. And by doing so, you may come to carry dalamas and the shusaram. So that's the Moriz Maskana with regard to this. Or to the machach eina tefur. Okay, we learned a lot of good stuff tonight. Vaita. Lo yetze, now we go to a man. Now this is a violation. Look at this. You see this? This also, Musa Haskel over here, a few more minutes. We start out over here in the Mishnah. Bameh ho'isha yoitza. This is a murdik of Musa Gemara. The perik is called Bameh ho'isha yoitza. Why? I'll tell you the truth art. Why isn't there a perik in Mesech the Shabbos? Bameh ho'isha yoitza. You don't have a perek in Masech the Shabbos b'mecho ish yoitza, b'mecho isha yoitza. What happened to the man? What happened to the man? The man is tafel to the woman. You hear Shemaisa? Because you have all these mishnayis now. Lo yetzeh ish besandal. If I were you, I would make a new perek. This is osir taruvis men and women. How can you have over here men and women in the same perek? And if you want to go have both men and women, you should call the parak b'mecho ish yoitza. And then you should separate. How can you go and you have over here the man being tafel? Okay, that's the Musa Haskel in life. Achoyre ari veloy achoyre isha. Right, lo yeitze ho ish. What?
She's always inside, except On Shabbos, she goes to shul, so she goes out.
How come there's no parak b'becha ish? And why is it? It's a very good kasha. Lo yeitzo ish b'sandal. B'sandal hamadus, the famous Gemara. This is the Ravusta Gemara of the Sandal Hamasumar. This is I never knew what this is. The reason why we have baseball is just because the only reason why the Hashem made baseball is to teach you this is because we should understand what the Sandal Hamasumar. Baseball players, they have a Sandal Hamasumar. Their sneakers have spikes. You ever see that? They have spikes. If they were to go on the train with their sneakers that they wear when they play baseball, it would be a big problem. They would make holes in the floor. That's full of spikes. A sandal hamesuma that has spikes to give you better traction. It is also for a man to wear such a shoe on Shabbos. Why? We'll see why. V'loy b'yochid, b'zman she'ein makah b'ragloy. And it says, now what is this? The big sugya. I can't wait to learn the Gemara here. V'loy b'yochid, Rashi, v'loy b'sandal yochid. You're not allowed to wear one shoe. Why? B'zman she'ein b'ragloy makah. Okay, a person, you wake up in the morning, happens all the time, happens to me every single day. I wake up in the morning and I can't find one of my shoes. I only have one shoe. Am I allowed to go out into the street wearing one shoe on Shabbos? No, because it looks funny. And what's going to happen is, I'm going to take off the why only wearing one shoe. So I'm going to say, well, I can't find the other shoe. So, you're doing a screen share? That's the Sandal Hamasumar. I told you, spikes. I told you that, spikes. That's spikes, I know. We're going to come to that. That's going to be the Gemara. That's Sandal Hamasumar.
You know what those shoes are called in English?
No.
Cleats.
Cleats. Cleats. Okay, cleats. Yes, okay. I know that. Cleats. Okay. Sports. I know, I said that. Mamash said that. I said that. Baseball players, they all wear this. That's why I said the whole baseball is just to teach us what it means.
I missed that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. So this the Sandal Hamasumar. We're going to come to this. This is going to be a whole sugya. This was a tragic. The sandal hamesuma. The reason why you're not even on the weird oracle period. Because it came with day sakana. This was before the time of social distancing. When a lot of people congregated together in one room. And when they congregated together in one room, they step on each other. And the cleats go into one another. Go and can kill a person. Okay, we don't have that problem today with too many people in the same room. But in the olden days, there used to be in the Friedrich Gedoris, there was something called the people used to have such a thing. As I know it's hard to imagine, but people would congregate a lot of people in one room. So then
it's very easy to remember which daf
here, this daf, right? Samach. Ah, Gewaldig. Gewaldig. Simone Milsa. Simoni Milsa.
The
Barvusta Sugya. If they ask you on Jeopardy, where is the Barvusta Sugya of the Sandal Hamasumar? Staf Samach. 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 And Shabbos also, because Shabbos is Shin, but the Shin is also can be pronounced Sin. And there's no difference between a Sin and a Shin. We pronounce the Sin and the Shin the same way. We don't differentiate between a Sin. I'm sorry, between a sin and a samach. Shlomo, do you differentiate between the pronunciation of a sin where the dot is on the left side and a samach? I don't know any differentiation. I can't make a difference in Havara. A sin and a samach, a vase and a vav, a tes and a tav, an aleph and an ayin. I've reduced the letters of the aleph base by four. You've noticed that? We have 22 letters in the Aleph base. I just reduced it to 18. To 18 letters. Because there's no difference between a vase and a vav, between a sin and a samach, an ayin and an aleph, and a tes and a tav. It's all the same. Correct? Obviously, we're doing something wrong. We're doing something wrong. V'loy b'yachid. Yachid means don't wear one shoe. One shoe. Bisman shein regular, but a lab purse is a maka. Oh, you got a maka. Then you're not embarrassed. You're not embarrassed why you're only wearing one shoe. Vloy b'tefillin. Ah, this is the barvusta sugi of tefillin. Hilk this mamish a hilk gemara. Vloy b'tefillin. You're not allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos. Why not? What's the problem? Why not? Okay, we have to go learn the gemara. This murder gemara. I can't wait to learn this gemara. You're not allowed to wear tefillin. What does Rashi over here say? Rashi, the Gemara is going to leave for the Gemara. Vaita. Vaita, v'loy b'kameya. You not only wear a kameya, an amulet. Bizman sheinu min minamumche. Okay, so the different types of kameyas. There are kameyos that work and kameyos that do not work. If it's not going to work, you're not. But if it does work, it's a merdik mishnah. It's pile ploim. It says that if it works, then you're allowed to wear it on Shabbos. It's a tuffel to your guf. Next, v'loy b'shir yoin. You're not allowed to wear armor. Armor? Why not? Why not? It's my malbush, a shir yoin. Why can I wear armor? Okay, what does it say over here? Rashi, kasta umigofayim. These are all different types of armor. The kasta. What's kasta? What, different types of helmet. V'loy b'magofayim. These are shin guards, right? These are what? Shin guards. Football on Shabbos. Okay, before we go, time is up. I want to tell you two things very quickly. I'll leave you with the Dvar HaGadol, two things. A kimeya. Over here, when this coronavirus started going out, I forgot the name. This made such a roshim on me. I couldn't believe it. People started talking about segulas. Go smear your doors with charoses. So the Gemara talks about a kimeya. So there's a ma'is shahoy with one of the Gedolei Yisrael, the prefer the Gedoris, where he gave someone a kimeya. He gave him a kimeya, a litvisha Rosh Hashiva. He wrote a kimeya, pilei ploim. The guy wanted a kimeya, and he drove this litvisha Rosh Hashiva crazy. So he finally wrote a kimeya, and it was pilei ploim. Anyone who put on this kimeya was healed. And like everyone was shocked. It's a litvak. It's not a chassidish Rebbe. So how could a litvak write a kimeya? But they were afraid to open up and see what it said inside, because there's a rule by kameyas. If you open up the kameya, then you dull the koyach, the shemois of the kameya. So no one wanted to open it up. Finally, someone couldn't hold themselves back. He opened it up to see what it said inside. And they saw that the litvak he wrote there in simple words, Ribbono shel Olam, please bring a refuah shelema to this person in the zuchus of the amelus of Torah that I invested into the Toisris in Masecht Chulin on Daf Lamed Zayin Amid Beis Dibur Hamaschil Omar, in the Zuchus of the Amelus that I invested to Fashtan in the difficult words of this Toisris. I put so much Amelus in that Zuchus. Bring a Refuah Shlema to this person. That's a Kameya. That's a Litvisha Kameya. Isn't that a beautiful story? Unbelievable. Tfilin. One mice I saw, I couldn't get over this. There was a guy, a Chabad guy, he went and he told, this goes back probably 60, 70 years ago after the Holocaust. He went and he was teaching the Kinderlach and Yeshiva about the mitzvah of tefillin. And he knew that most of their parents, the fathers, did not wear tefillin. He went home and he told the Kinderlach, I want you to go home and tell all of your parents, the first put on tefillin. I'm teaching you, put on Tati, do you wear, Dad, do you wear tefillin? We learned in Chedi today that you wear tefillin. How come I don't see you wearing tefillin? So this little child in third grade, he went home and he told his father, we learned about the mitzvah of tefillin. Daddy, do you wear tefillin? So the father, who was a Holocaust survivor, he exploded. He said, tefillin? I was in Auschwitz and I saw two piles. One pile was a pile of tefillin. They took away everyone's tefillin. And the other pile was a pile of ashes and bones. They burned all the Jews. So I'm not putting on tefillin here. Don't go tell me to wear tefillin. He told this to his child. The child was very shaken up. He goes back to the Rebbe and he says, Rebbe, I told my father what you said. And he exploded and he told me this. So the Rebbe went, this what I'm telling you now, shook me to the core. The Rebbe went, he took the child in third grade. He picked him up by his hands, a very tall Rebbe. He picked him up over his head. He picked him all the way up over his head. And he said, look, your father really does wear tefillin. You, this child, you are the tefillin of your father. The fact that your father sent you to a yeshiva where we learn Torah, this is your father's, you are your father's tefillin. You're right, your father got angry. He blew up, it exploded. But let me tell you the truth. The truth is your father really wears tefillin. Look, I can put you on my head. I can pick you up. I can put you on my head. Your father, by having you as a child and sending you to cheder, in essence, your father is wearing tefillin. Like that story? Okay, have a wonderful night. Thank you so much for learning with me. If you would not learn with me, I don't know what I would do today. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful night. Please come back tomorrow.
Thank you.
Be well.
I just got in your way.
No, not in my way, please.
I feel like the whole family already knows about this place. Much worse than Taiwan. These guys are not from Taiwan. You know where they are from?
Mr. Kong, what's doing?
Before we know, we'll be having Toys R Us here. I'm going to the shit on here.
I can't hear Mr. Kong, you're on mute. I can't hear anything you're saying. I'm going to go to the next one.